Blog Talk Radio.
I feel just like a kite, but one without a string, one that is floating around. I don't know what tomorrow will bring. I feel just like a bird, but one without a home, one that is floating over endless oceans, empty horizons, no rest in sight. What does it mean when you say you want to be free? Free to sing, free to dance, free to let someone take a glance in a world that's free of me. Then you say you're moving on. Then you say I've got other plans. Oh, 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 girl, oh, you're moving in the wrong direction. Moving in the wrong direction, yeah. You're moving in the wrong direction, so far away from me. You're moving in the wrong direction, moving in the wrong direction, yeah. You're moving in the wrong direction, so far away from me.
Not dead. The Almighty is not dead. We the people are.
And that's why we're here to prove on the Real Talk for Real People show that you're moving in the wrong direction. And as the song alluded to, I wish my mama and papa was here. Your mama and papa is still here. They're here in the words, the teachings of the word of Yah. In the stories that we provide for you, we provide for your studies. We prove without a shadow of a doubt your mamas and papas are still here. You're just not heeding their counsel. My name is Yamsuf Arif, and this is the Real Talk for Real People study show. I, along with Cartrell of New York City, Sus Yehuda of Detroit, Michigan, and sometime Imam Hador of Illinois, we come on to prove to you that you're moving in the wrong direction. It's certainly true. Just look at us, still crying and begging for justice and hoping that the right thing comes about. But we're here to prove to you, you're crying in the wrong direction. You're crying to your oppressors, your enemies, to give you justice. The case of our brother Ahmaud Arbery. I heard today that some of the people around the courthouse were crying to the court for justice. No, I don't do that. I cry to the Most High for justice. For justice for Ahmaud Arbery and his family, and rightfully so. I cry to the Most High that his blood cries out to him and he hears it, and not neglect Brother Arbery and his family, and justice be rendered. That's who I cry to, because I'm not moving in the wrong direction, as some of us elect to do so. That's why we have thought that these studies are imperative, that you understand the core of the matter, the dynamic of what's going in order to move in the right direction, in order to hear your prayers answered. And yes, your mama and papas are here. They're here in these stories that we provide for you. Learn to move in the right direction. Learn to understand that the Almighty is not dead. You are. Get it right. Make it right. Get the solution. Get the antidote. Only from the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaqub, and all things, bow down before him and praise his holy name. Everything in the heaven, the heavenly hosts, everything in this earth, all its inhabitants, the mountains, the air, that we breathe, the mountains, the trees that provide oxygen for us, and so on and so forth. Even the creepy, crawly things that gets on your nerves sometimes. Let all of them bow down before the Most High. And let Yom Suf Arif bow down before the Most High and praise his holy name, Yom Suf Arif, his soul, and all that is within him. I suggest that you move in that direction. You will get your answers. But before we get started, you know I like to make comments on contemporary subject matters. You know, I forgot yesterday what I was talking about. It was brought to my attention about our brother, one of our brothers in Wisconsin, 39 years old, I believe, thought running away from a domestic violence situation. He thought it's prudent upon him to ride through a parade. 5 people had died, and even a child. We don't get down like that. I don't know what was on that brother's mind, but I'm certain he wasn't moving in the right direction. You can be assured of that fact. He definitely was moving in the wrong direction as far as his spiritual life was concerned with the Almighty, and certainly as far as human life was concerned, living on this earth, moving in the wrong direction. Let me tell you a story before we get started in our studies. How we move in the wrong direction. Around about 5 or something, I had to get me some iced potatoes and some condensed milk. And so I wanted to run to get the show set up. When I walked into the store, I'm just like the black Mr. Rogers of the neighborhood, if you let me. Welcome to the neighborhood. So the young white girl was at the door as I entered, cashier. And I said, honey, can you tell me where your condensed milk is? She said, in the can. She didn't know what I was talking about. I said, you know, it's condensed in a can. She said, yes, sir. It's right on down the aisle there. And she pointed me in the right direction. Now, as I was traversing onto the back, another person, a young sister, one that looks remotely like me, who has been trained to hate and is toxic toward anything that remotely looks like her. Around about the same age as the white girl. And I patted her on the shoulder, gently. I said, hello. The look that little girl gave me, like I patted her on behind or something. And which compared me, we don't speak no more. So I commenced and went on the back, purchased, got my items, and came and purchased. I could have went down her aisle, but she was so toxic. I try to avoid us that's toxic and poisonous. But whatever she said to the little white girl when I was getting my items, moving in the wrong direction, the little white girl wouldn't feel it because she raised the bar. See, that's what I'm talking about around here, you know, old ghetto fabulous. See, that's why we can't get together. Because some of us choose to live in the wrong direction. As that young fella, 39 years, drove through traffic in the wrong direction. That young lady is moving in the wrong direction. She couldn't have been no more than 18. I was old enough to be her grandpa. And she's going to treat her own grandparents like that, or someone similar in nature to her grandparent. Guess what? She's probably treating her mama and papa like that. And see, I'm going to tell y'all something. It's incumbent upon you mamas and papas to train your babies in the right direction. Don't put them out there on us with that toxic and poisonous attitude and don't know how to relate to people, don't know how to be civil and courteous. See, back in our land, see, that wasn't tolerated. See, mama and papa had to deal with that problem. That's not the community problem. Deal with your problem at home so it won't be a problem in the community where it does drive-bys. It beats on their women and sometimes kills them. And the little young sisters are toxic and poisonous. The little young brothers are toxic and poisonous. See, it's incumbent upon us to take ownership and responsibility of our people because we're moving in the wrong direction. That being said, let me bring my dear brother on from New York City. Cottrell, may the Most High bless you. Your mic is hot. Show him.
Bless you, my soul, and all that's within me. Bless his holy name. All praise to the Holy One of Israel, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Yaakov. Shalom, family. May the Most High bless you. Yom Sufari. May the Most High bless you and your family.
Thank you very much, my brother and friend. May he bless yours also.
I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
Appreciate you too, brother. Thank you very much.
Yeah, man. That's why you got to speak positive, man, to people. Even though
right.
She was negative, you got to say, yo, God bless you, mama. May he take all your cares and worries away. Because our people are toxic. You say they're born in toxic waters. This young generation, they have a hard time raising their children because they don't use the codes that we learn about.
Right.
You know, your parents aren't your friends. They're your parents. You got to learn to respect them. And when you respect your parents, you respect other elders.
Exactly.
So, like you said, it goes to show it's a reflection of her upbringing. You don't respect elders, somebody that could be your grandfather, how dare you? That could be your grandfather's friend. And he could be put back to your grandfather or your grandmother or your mother. You might know your mother.
Exactly.
And tell her about your attitude in your workplace. Because if you have an attitude like that in your workplace,
because
you don't know who you're going to meet, you're not going to be there for long.
Right. Because I could have
always told me that manners and kindness and respect takes you worldwide.
Exactly. Takes you far in life. But I could have been very well ugly to her, said ugly, hurtful things, but I didn't. I said, we don't speak anymore. And I kept it moving, you know. And I didn't raise my voice. I said, oh, we don't speak anymore? I moved on to the back and took care of my business.
You said it earlier. Y'all's alive and we dead.
Exactly.
Spiritually. You got all the mental knowledge of technology and this and that. And physically, I don't know. We don't really take care of ourselves physically. But in the spiritual realm, we dead.
We dead. Donut dead. Donut dead.
Dead as a donut.
Moving in the wrong direction.
Anything other than justice that comes out of that Ahmaud Arbery case is definitely in the hands of Yah. Because clearly, worldwide, you can see by all the evidence presented, I've been watching the case from day one.
You and I both.
Come on, man. They didn't have the authority to make no citizen's arrests. What are you arresting him for? Running through the streets? You didn't see him do anything. The owner of the house said he didn't steal anything. He didn't have any weapons. You got two trucks, two guns, and it's three of y'all, and he's intimidating and putting fear in y'all?
They weren't that scared to be chasing up behind him, was it?
Right. Y'all should have left him alone if y'all was that scared.
Exactly.
Ooh, we scared. Ooh, don't bother him. He might kill him.
Okay, why didn't he get on the phone like the prosecutor said and trailing and be on the phone with the 911 if y'all thought he was a problem.
No, they thought they had him trapped like a rat. When he ran around.
Cold.
When he ran around the pickup truck.
Uh-huh.
Money didn't get back in his truck, closed the door if he was afraid.
Mm-hmm.
He had a shotgun inside the cabin. No, he took the rifle outside the cabin, went outside the door, around the front of the truck to cut the brother off.
Exactly.
And the brother saw all that action. He's like, no, you're not going to shoot me. You're not going to blow my effing head off. No, no, no. I'm going to defend myself first.
Right. And Aubrey, Brother Aubrey, Ahmad had the right to defend himself. They didn't have no right to defend themselves. He had the right.
He had no weapon. You got the weapon. You got the truck.
Right.
You got the gun. And he's a threat to y'all. Stop it.
Stop the lying.
What? No, but he probably did fear. Because the Most High said, I'll put the fear of you on the nation.
Right.
You can see it's evident. Even with police. They come out, guns drawn in our neighborhood. Like,
exactly.
We just told you, because it was a family dispute.
Exactly.
In our neighborhood, police get out of their car because they have so much fear. But then guns drawn. And they'll shoot first and ask questions later.
You better believe it.
But,
hey, Contrell, you didn't say anything about my fabulous singing before. I saw this.
I'm going to leave that alone. I'm going to leave that alone. I'm going to let you wonder about it. How'd I do it?
Okay. Continue on, brother. Continue on.
I know you don't want my opinion.
Continue on, brother. Continue on.
I'm done, man.
Yeah, okay.
I'm just praying for justice for Aubrey, man, and his mother and his family.
You and I both.
Consequences. You got to be responsible for your actions. Right?
Exactly. Exactly.
And that's just all basic right. The law of Yah. You shoot, kill somebody. You got to pay the consequence.
Got to pay the consequence. Can't nobody get away. All right, Contrell, let us bring on Sister Hootie from Detroit. Sister Hootie, may the Most High bless you. Your mic is hot. Shalom.
Sister Hootie, Most High bless you.
Thank you. And your family, Justin and Contrell.
Thank you
very much.
Hold on. I listened carefully to the song you chose. And when he said, of course, he wished his mother was here, strong
mm-hmm.
as a rose, he mentioned rose, R-O-S-E.
Mm-hmm.
And it hit me.
That was your mama name, Rose.
Yes.
Yep. I told you your mother had an impact upon me. I know Miss Rose. So
mm-hmm.
I picked up on that a long time ago. But before you get started, would you like to say anything about my fabulous scene?
It was okay.
All right. Thank you. You ain't hating like Contrell. You got good taste in music.
It wasn't good.
My son
said it wasn't good, but it wasn't bad.
You see what I'm saying? You see what I'm saying, Sister? The brother can't give me my props.
I know. You did all right.
Thank you very much.
Use the effort, man.
Go ahead, Sister Hootie. I'm not going to listen to Contrell no more.
Same on you, Contrell. You give an honest.
If you want an opinion, if you don't want an opinion, which is it?
Don't ask you, huh?
I wanted the opinion, but you know, I guess opinions are from different perspectives, and I guess it's just like e-knowledge. Some people don't like olives, even though they're good for you. Apparently, Sister Hootie loves olives, so she can appreciate the finer things in life.
Contrell, I got nothing to say.
Well. I could say if they were so fine, they would be making a lot of money. But I'm not going to say that.
Some things you don't make money, just the riches of your soul, okay?
Oh, all right.
Anyway, Okay, but I respect your opinion. You all right.
I know Greg Ford out there making money.
Thank you, Sister Hootie, for taking on for your brother like that. I appreciate that.
No problem.
Nah, but you got to be honest like Joe's friend, man. You got to, you know, hit him.
No, but I'm
serious. Oh, talking about Joe's friend. No, them were no good friends. Every friend ain't your good friend. Yeah.
I mean, they gave an honest effort to tell the man the truth, y'all.
I'm telling the truth because I listened. I said, oh, that's Young Sue. Because I thought it was the guy at first. What's his name?
Greg Reporter.
Yeah. Oh, she thought I was Gregory Porter.
And then I said, wait a minute, this song lasting a long time. Now, this is going through my head for 2 seconds. And I said, oh, that's Young Sue.
Don't hate, Kadre. Don't hate, brother.
No, I'm not hating because you threw them lyrics in there. You're moving it in away from Ya. I love that. You did it.
Yeah, yeah.
You said another after my opinion. I was trying to be quiet.
Oh, okay, okay.
You asked me my opinion about the fabulousness of your singing.
Push. Oh, Most High, you know, the lady called me from where I'm supposed to move, and she said, Miss Martin, your paperwork isn't finished. And I said, well, she said, I apologize. It was a new lady we were training. We were waiting on a couple of things so you can move in. I said, hallelujah.
What did she call you?
Huh?
What did she call you?
Miss Martin.
Martin.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're wrong with that. See what I'm saying? See what I'm saying, Sister Judy? See what I'm saying?
I get it all the time. Yes. I get it joked all the time. Hey, Martin. I'm like, okay. Even the children, when I was working at a child care, they say, Ms. Martin. I said, oh, my God. So I'm pretty excited about that and patient. Man, I'm just thanking the Most High and just being patient. I'm excited. And I'm trying not to, just be, like you said, not to bog my mind with, you know how women are, I got to do this, like, set up, just be quiet, do what you can.
You're not trying to be too anxious about it.
Right. And my mind over it, and then my pressure go up. Don't worry about it. My son says, Ma, don't worry about it.
Right.
Just do what you can.
Right. Do your part.
You have to have the patience of Job.
Oh, yeah.
Amen. That's why we're in it. That's why we're in them studies, to learn the patience of Job.
And normally I'm pretty patient.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not going to lie. We all need, what is the word I want to use right quick before we start? Next reintegration. Sometimes we need to be reminded that certain circumstances in life. Like you gave a good example at the grocery store. You were patient.
Right.
I probably would too. And I'm trying to be patient in my living circumstances. I have no doubt. I'm trying to figure out, I'm realizing, Joe, why am I so anxious?
Well, learn what we learned. Sister Hootie, what we learned in the Marine Corps. When it comes to things out of your control, it was a simple saying we had. It doesn't matter because it doesn't mean nothing. So you worrying about it is not going to change it. So it doesn't matter because it doesn't mean nothing. You worrying about it.
Mm-hmm.
So at the end of the day, as far as Yah's concerned, he got your back. So don't be too anxious when you get yourself sick.
Mm-hmm.
And the Most High tells you not to be anxious. Right. Go ahead, Cartrell.
Well, Patria.
The relationship that we have with the Most High.
Mm-hmm.
He tests us, don't he?
Exactly.
Oh, yeah.
He gives us the ability to test him, too, because we have to keep him to his promises. He said, I will deliver you if you follow me and obey me out of how many of your troubles?
All of them. Everyone.
All your troubles. And all don't mean some.
Right.
Truth be told.
And y'all can't worry about who's going to help me move up my senses, Mama. Everything will be taken care of.
Right.
And I release the fact that certain things I'm not going to take with me. It's like it is not like it is. I'm starting all over from scratch.
Right.
But it's like when I was a child, I had someone laugh and Yakira, I said, when I was 6 years old and moved into this house, I loved it. Because, you know, when you're 6 years old, and my mother kept the floors waxed, I slide from the living room to the dining room.
Right.
We didn't hardly have to get a table. And I equated, even though I'm older, I'm a grandmother, I'm thinking, I'd rather start with little.
Right.
I appreciate with little. Let's rephrase it.
Right.
I don't need a lot of stuff.
Right.
So this is what I'm tapping into my childhood, how it's easy to clean. And I don't need, you know. But I'm grateful because it's like I'm starting all over again. And I thank the Most High. He's given me an opportunity. I could be dead, you know, me of it. So.
Praise
God. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Y'all service.
Mm-hmm.
Focus on what we need, not what we want.
Right.
In America, they start you early on wanting things. I want this. I want that. I want this and I want that.
But
as long as I have my plan.
Take care of what you need.
What do you really need? Well, Katya,
you
have a switch hooded. Okay.
As long as I got my plan. That's it. And let's start.
Okay. No problem.
Need no plan.
Right. Cottrell and Sister Yehudi, we're going to move on. But before I move on, I'd like to give a public service announcement for Cottrell and to some students out there who have an interest in going to Ghana like I do. Here's what they got going on in Ghana as far as the COVID-19 testing is concerned. You must have a test before you enter, and you must take a test before you leave. And that test, I think, runs $150 before you leave there. So that's what they got going on in Ghana now.
In where?
In Ghana.
Ooh.
Public service.
Okay.
Investment. Okay. All right, fellow students, let's get busy. Turn to chapter 19 of Job. And Job is about to respond to the second go-around, round two of Baldad. And Job says in reply, Chapter 19. Now they've got him down. They got him down on the ground and they holding him in a chokehold. And by way of not literally, but figuratively. And he says, how long will you grieve my spirit and crush me with words? You're crushing me. You're thought to be friends. And time and again, you humiliate me. You're going to be coming here to comfort me, lift me up, connect me with Yah, but you chose to grieve my spirit and crush me with your words. Your words are toxic and poisonous. And time again, you humiliate me with your words. And I'm not ashamed to, you're not ashamed to even do it to me. If indeed, okay, just say on the chance. If indeed I have heard, my error remains, because y'all ain't did nothing to help me get it off me. Y'all ain't did nothing to pray with me to Yah, lead me in the right direction so I can move in the right direction. Only y'all throwing these toxic and caustic and poisonous words that we have a tendency to do that as human beings. Cartrell mentioned it with the young lady at the store. I could have threw crushing words at her, but what purpose would that serve? That's why I throw a lighthearted word so she can think upon it. Oh, we don't speak to each other anymore? Constructive, positive. But those are not the words that Job was getting. He said, your words are crushing me. And he said, even if I did error, have y'all did anything to change the dynamics? My error remains with me because ain't nothing y'all said have encouraged me to get right with y'all. Y'all pointed me in the right direction. Y'all are throwing these bad, caustic, and toxic words at me. Though you are overbearing toward me, you're high-minded, you're dogmatic, you're pontificating. That ain't the way to be. You reproach me with my disgrace. You throwing my dirt up in my face. If I was wrong, you're throwing my past up in my face. You're throwing my dirt on me. If I was in error, so how is that serving any purpose? Yet, know that Yah, but I want y'all to know, I ain't did nothing wrong. Yet know that Yah has wronged me. I hadn't did anything wrong. I'm going to stand on it. I'm going to stand behind that. He has thrown up siege works around me. I'm being besieged. I cry violence, but am not answered by Yah. I shout, but can get no justice from Yah, not knowing the dynamics of what's going on because he's being tested. Now, if he wouldn't be tested, Yah would have heard it. He has barred my way. I cannot pass. He has laid darkness upon my path, which he does to everybody. If they ain't right with it, if your life is life of darkness, you can't see from the, you can't see at the end of the tunnel, that's because you're moving in the wrong direction. That's because you're not connected with, not in Job's situation. Job was a righteous man of blame. He's just being tested. But Job know that when you ain't right and you're doing wrong, your life is just dark. You can't see from, you can't see to the end of the tunnel. He has stripped me of my glory, and Yah will strip you of your glory. Remove the crown from my head, and yes, Yah can do that. He tears down every part of me. Yes, he can. I perish as a result. He'll uproot my hope like a tree. Yah, take your hope out of your life. You will be a hopeless individual. Job is right. He's dropping some diamonds, some knowledge. He kindles his anger against me, and Yah is angry at unrighteous people and evil people. And they're living in a, you think they living high on the hall, but you don't know what them folk going through in their household. They may have fabulous jobs, nice cars, nice houses, a beautiful wife, a beautiful, you don't know what the hell and the doctors they going through in them houses. On the outside it looks good, but Job is breaking it down to you like you 4 years old. No, they going through, they catching hell, and their life is a endless darkness. Job dropping some knowledge. He regards me as one of his foes, and Yah sees you as one of his foes if you're not one of his friends following his commandment. Yah sees you as an enemy against him. His troops advance together. Yah sent angels against you too. You think you living high on the hog? You think Donald Trump got it going on? That's just a facade. That's just like an outhouse covered in white paint. That's all Donald Trump life, and anybody likes him, life is like an outhouse where you put away waste. But his dog is in the outhouse. It's just a white outhouse. But y'all wouldn't, y'all don't know nothing about no outhouse. Outhouse is an outdoor bathroom with no plumbing. That's what I'm talking about. So Donald Trump life is an outdoor outhouse with no plumbing and darkness. Anybody. Not only
did he look happy in the White House when he was there as president?
No, that joke looked like he was one flew over the cuckoo nest.
And what about his wife?
She looked like she was who did it and what for.
He looked like she couldn't wait to get up out of there.
Man, what you say? And Joe says, they build their road toward me. Yah and his angels build a rope and encamp around my tent, and Yah certainly will. He alienate my kin, and Yah will alienate your kin from you. My acquaintance disown me. Yah will make your acquaintance and friend disown you. My relatives are gone. He's talking about a factual situation, too. His wife is disloyal. Wife is disloyal. He's lost his children. So he's talking factual language. Not metaphorically, he's talking about what he know he's going. I lost my children. My wife has disowned me, disloyal toward me. My friends have forgotten me, and certainly these friends have forgotten who they talking to. They've forgotten Job was a blameless and righteous man. They wanna dredge up dirt on Job. And they've forgotten the relationship they had with Job previously before what has happened. Because they are pontificating and being dogmatic, being self-righteous. Instead of bringing Job to Yah and praying intercession for Job, They just want to dig up his past and thought, yeah, you were dirty all the time. See, we thought you was right, yo. People do that to you. We thought you was right, yo. People do that to you. But you ain't never been right, yo. You just faking the funk all the time. You were putting on the hits, yo. Now y'all done caught up with you. What kind of friends is that? You got friends like that, you don't need no enemies. And Job is being factual in that. My friends have forgotten me. My dependents and maidservants regard me as a stranger. Those that depend upon his workers, they depend upon him. Just see Job as a stranger. Now, oh, yeah, he used to have, yeah. Well, you know how it goes. You know how people whisper. You ever been on the job, they fired you or whatnot? And people were looking at you, and they were estranged from you. They got away from you. They avert their eyes for you. I can imagine. Can you imagine? Go in time with me now. Go on that very moment that Job is talking. He's talking factual. He still got people that are dependent upon their livelihood through him. And yet, what are they doing? Are they comforting Job? Are they interceding for Job? No, they're acting the same way those fair weather friends are. They're averting their eyes. They're looking under at it. They're whispering among themselves. They're estranging themselves. They're backing up from Job. People would do that to you. He said, I'm an outsider to them. He's not part of the crew no more. He's not the guy we work for. He ain't got a damn thing. He done lost his children. Look at his wife. She done got snares and sads with him. She ain't loyal no more. Look at them friends over there. Look at them talking to them real bad. Imagine how Job felt. Imagine how you feel when you're being tested. And Job was being tested 10 times over. He said, I summoned my servant, but he does not respond. I summoned these dependents. I said, come on, man. I need you to come on, bring me some water. Bring you something to wash my boys up. I ain't going over there. He don't run nothing now. Oh, he must have been dirty like them friends talking about it. He must have been dirty from the very beginning. Not knowing that Yah is testing you. See, people do that to you. Be prepared for it. Joe was prepared for it, but he's preparing you for it. He said, I must beg it. Come on, man. Please bring me some water, man. Bring me some cloth so I can wash off my face, my head, my foot, all these boys. I must beg him, those who I commanded, those who I were in charge of. I got to beg him, please. Come on, man. Do me that favor. Y'all would do that to you if you wicked, and y'all would do that to you if you tested. And people would treat you the same way on both accounts. Whether you're wicked, and you shouldn't be wicked, or whether you're being tested. People do that to you. Job is teaching you this. He said, my odor is repulsive. He said, I'm stinky. With all these boils from the top of my head to the bottom of my face, they leaking blood running out of them. I got these ashes on me, and I'm in these sackcloth. My woman finds my odor repulsive. She won't even show me no love. All the things I did for her, all the love I showed for her, I gave her the best. She was living a life of luxury. Look how she treated me. People do that to you. Job is trying to teach you that. Even when you're innocent, even when you're being tested, be ready to accept it. Not people will turn on you. What do you must do? Don't turn on Yah. Keep holding on to Yah. Because people will turn on you. And he says, I am loathsome to my children. Well, his children is gone. But now he's speaking in a metaphorically sense. Even youngsters, even little boys and girls around the neighborhood looking at him.
Look, he had it all, didn't he? He had all them children. He had a lovely wife. He had all that property. And they listen to him. Look at him now. Yeah. And look at them friends of his. They talk about him too. So I'm going to talk. I'm going to throw rocks at him.
People do that to you. Job is teaching this lesson. You can't depend on no human being. The only entity you can depend on is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaqub. And you hold on to him. Hold on to him tight. Because it's coming from all in. And Job is teaching you this valuable lesson. Pick up these nuggets. Put them in your basket. Even youngsters disdain me. When I rise, they speak against me. They talking bad to him. Bad mouthing him. All my bosom friends detest me. And certainly in the case, you know he's speaking factual. Because these so-called bosom friends, they detest him. They're making unsubstantiated allegations as to his dedication to Allah, as to his blamelessness and righteousness. They're saying you were a schemer. We didn't really know you, Joe. Now Yah has proven us right, and that's why we are pontificating. That's why we are acting self-righteous. And that's why we are throwing these crushing, toxic, and poison, because we got right to it. Because you ain't never been right. Fact of the matter, Joe was right. He was being tested. But people would do that to you, even your so-called bosom buddies. He said, those I loved had turned against me. Even folks you love are turning against you. Yep. Your wife, your husband, your friends. Job is teaching valuable lessons. If they're not attuned to Yah, if they're not connected to Yah, if they don't understand the dynamics around Yah, and then Yah sometimes tests men and women, well, and they're going to turn on you. Be ready for it. It's coming. He said, and he talks about himself. My bones stick to my skin and flesh. I'm skinny. I'm bony. They're sticking to my skin and flesh. I escape with the skin of my teeth. Pity me. Pity me. You are my friends. I don't expect this kind of behavior from you. I need your pity. I need your empathy. I need your compassion. I need your love. I need your understanding. I don't need your caustic and toxic words trying to draw up poison on me. I don't need that. I need you to help me connect with Yah. He ain't hearing me. Maybe he'll hear y'all. But y'all ain't doing that. Y'all just throwing dirt on me. You say I'm a schemer. You say I've been crooked from the beginning. I've been crooked than a dog's hind leg. That's why I'm getting what I'm getting. What kind of friends are you? I need your pity and compassion and love. I need your prayers. People will do that to you. He said, but the hand of Yah has struck me. I know this. I don't know why reason I've done it, but he struck me. Why do you promise me like Yah? Why do y'all act like Yah? No, excuse me. I missed the word, and this is imperative. Why do you pursue me like Yah? Like y'all, Yah. Like y'all know everything. Like y'all really know what's going on. People do that to you. Job is pointing this out to us. Why y'all pursuing me like y'all, Yah? Why y'all putting these caustic and toxic words at me? Why I can't get no love? Why I can't get no pity? Why I can't get no compassion? Why I can't get no empathy? But I get a whole lot of caustic and toxic words from you. Y'all act like y'all, Yah. And he says, maligning me. Insatiably. Y'all just keep it up on and on and on to the break of dawn. I can't get a break. I can't get what I need from you, but I can get your caustic and toxic words. I can get your beat down. That's all I'm getting from y'all, a beat down. Nothing encouraging, nothing enlightening, nothing motivational. People do that to you. Job is pointing this out. Oh, that my words were written down. And they certainly was, thanks to the Most High. And that's why we have this vast knowledge, this reservoir of knowledge, to help us when we go through trials. Would they be inscribed in a record? And it certainly is, praise Yah. And sized on a rock forever, and praise Yah. In some semblance of the word, it is true. With iron, stylus, and lead, and it certainly was through the providence of the Most High. But I know that my vindicator lives. I know that Yah lives. I don't. Yah ain't dead. I don't know what's going on, but I knew I do know what you guys are doing against me. And I know this in addition, that Yah lives. And that's what you got to hold on to. In the end, in the final analysis, he will testify on earth. This after my skin has been, after I'm going away, y'all going to vindicate me. But I will behold y'all while still in my, I'm going to hold on to y'all. I don't care if you fair weather friends. I don't care if you my wife. I don't care if you little bad children throwing rocks at me. I don't care if you my workers that used to heed my counsel and follow my commands. I don't care who you are. I know I ain't did nothing wrong. And in the final analysis, I'm going to find out. You're going to find out. He's going to vindicate me. I'm going to hold on to Yah. Praise Yah. But I will behold of Yah while I'm still in my... I'm going to hold on to Yah. I myself, not another, would behold him. I don't need nobody to intercede for me. I myself, I don't need you three fair weather friends. I don't need you bad little children talking about me. I don't need my wife that broke bad on me. I don't need my workers that broke bad on me. I don't need none of y'all to vindicate me. What I need, what I'm going to hold on to, is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaqub. I know I didn't did anything wrong. Would see with my own eyes. I'm going to see my vindication. But yet then, in this final moment, in these moments now, my heart pines within me. I'm feeling some sort of way. I'm feeling just dejected and rejected. I'm feeling just beat down from the flow down. And because of that, my heart pines away. But I know I'm going to hold on to Yah. You said, how do we prosecute you? The root of the matter is in him. Be in fear of the sword. You said, you fair weather friends, how do we persecute you? Well, you're doing it. And they said, the root of the matter is in him, Yah. Be in fear of the sword. But for your fury, is it iniquity worthy of the sword? Now, y'all better be careful because y'all going to reap what you sow, player. Be careful when you're throwing a finger at me. Three is pointing back at you. Be careful when you don't give me pity. Don't give me compassion. Don't give me empathy. Don't give me love. Don't give me intercession with the Most High. And say, I'm a schemer. I'm a backstabber. I'm a dirty, low-down dog. And I ain't never been good for nothing. I've been an underhanded crook all the time. I don't need y'all to vindicate me. But y'all be careful now and putting these caustic and toxic words on me. You're pointing the finger at me. Three is pointing at you, three fair weather friends. Know there is judgment. It don't come from y'all. It don't come from my wife. It doesn't come from my servants. It doesn't come from them bad children talking disdain to me. It don't come from y'all with y'all disdain, caustic and toxic and poisonous words. Judgment. Moving in the right direction. Comes from the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaqub. Praise Yah. Katriel. So Shahudi.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all got the mic. Excuse me.
You know what I can identify with, wait a minute, so you can hear me clearly.
Right.
Okay. I can identify with verse 19.
Right.
When you said, in this presentation, it says, all my intimate friends loathe me, and those whom I loved have turned against me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what is happening.
Yeah. Factual. Factual.
Mm-hmm. And, but one thing in 25, in verse 25, when he says, which is so true, for I know that my Redeemer lives
Hallelujah.
Yes. As the last shall rise over the dust, and after my skin has been struck off, then in my flesh I shall see the Most High, Ella. That is, you know, that's our hope. That's our fact. Go ahead, Cockriel.
I think you hit a key point, because you're speaking about eternal life. Because after you're dead, how are you going to see God if the Most High doesn't restore his soul?
What?
Exactly.
And when you look at it, the Most High is not just testing Job. He's testing everybody around him.
You better believe.
All these people that Job thought was loyal to him, that loved him, guess what? Through Yah testing Job, the Most High is exposing all of them, isn't it?
Exactly.
So while Job was at his peak, when he had all the wealth and fame and fortune, there was a veil that he didn't see that's being uncovered right now. Your friends ain't really loyal to you. Your wife don't really love you because she's supposed to be there for better or worse.
Exactly.
That's what a wife's supposed to do. She's supposed to be there for better or worse.
Exactly.
And we're supposed to know him better than anybody.
Right.
But he can't even talk to her because she's talking about your breath stink.
You're repulsive. You stank.
Also, you stank. And in the 17th verse, it looks like he might have still had some children left.
He may have had some still.
He talks
still
about his sons who died, but it doesn't say all of his children died.
No.
Mm-hmm.
It looked like those were his elder children, Cartrell. I think his younger children. It seems to me that he still had younger children that wasn't at the party.
Because he said even young children have scorned me, I raise, and they speak against me.
You know why? Because his friends is chit-chatting away at him, and they listening to them, and they taking sides with his friends. But the fact that he continues to fight back against his friends, it seems to be that his main concern, his whole attention, is not on the boil. It's not on what he lost. It's not on his lack of connection with Yah. His main problem is his friends, right?
Mm-hmm.
And their words. Because what could they really be saying? What should they really be saying? Like, you could get through this, my brother, because we know you're good. We know you've done good. We're going to pray for you. We're going to fast for you. We're going to help you any way you possibly can, because you know that you have, from what we've seen, you've been good. You've been a good man, a righteous man, an upright man, a man that helped many, many people, including us. So
exactly.
They could have been saying words like that. But no, the man is down and out. He ain't got nothing. If his wife, you know, turned her back on him, his children, his servants don't even look at him. You know, I'm sure he treated his servants really well.
Yep.
He can't even question
him. The righteous man.
Yeah. They don't answer him now. They don't answer him now? Wow.
Cold-blooded.
Big time. But Job is a prophet because Yah's putting this pressure on him. He speaks of the final judgment. Yes. He says, like, for I know that my Redeemer lives, and he shall stand. That's futuristic. At last on the earth. That's when the judgment's going to come. And after my skin is destroyed, which means I'm dead, this is what I know. How does he know this? Is he speaking to Yah? Yes. That in my flesh I will see Elohim. How are you going to see Yah in your flesh when you destroy? That means Yah is going to restore your soul into some new flesh, whom I shall see for myself. My eyes shall behold, and not another. How my heart yearns within me to see this day of judgment. So, when this day of judgment come, how are y'all going to look? If you should say, how should we persecute him? Since the root of the matter is found in me, y'all knows what I did. But be afraid of what y'all saying for yourself, because what you're saying going to bounce back right on y'all.
Mm-hmm.
What you're doing right now is totally unrighteous.
Right. I'm glad you mentioned that. But I'm glad you mentioned that, Cartrell. And people have to realize, be careful how you treat one another and be very careful in your word usage when it comes to one another. And Cartrell, you mentioned it before we got started in this show, throwing out those toxic and caustic and poisonous words on people. If they're not constructive and supportive and liberating and interceding with Yah, keep your mouth closed, man. Because what goes around comes around.
And that's a fact. That's a fact. Mm-hmm. You always hear me say, you got to watch what you say. And always speak positive. Don't speak negative because you put that in existence. You are what you speak. A man is as he thinks. Like, you are what you eat, are what you think, and what you think.
So is he or she.
And when you say it, you can't retract it. It doesn't come back. It's out. Mm-hmm. Out. You said it. You can't take it back. And all these things that they're saying against Job, they can't take back. And guess what? They're going to be judged for it. Not to get ahead of the story, but the fact that you got to concentrate and focus on what you be saying. You need to have conversation with the Most High so that your words are magical and powerful and have meaning
right.
and substance.
Well, God, you're basically saying talk about what you know. Don't talk about what you don't know. Don't give no speculations, okay? So if you don't, if you talk of speculation of what you don't know, be very careful.
The great King Solomon said, a fool is considered wise when he's silent.
Interesting.
It ain't always
maybe that's
a
good thing to keep
your mind.
I was joking. I said, maybe that's why I stay silent.
We all fools sometimes.
We have not attained complete wisdom, so we all need to shut up sometimes and listen. There's an art of listening and hearing and receiving. And that's the problem with our people.
Right.
We hear ya, but we ain't doing what he said.
Hallelujah.
Male or female? Male or female?
We all dirty out here.
Oh, yeah.
That's why we bring these studies to you. To help enlighten you and so see that we all dirty out here. We all need y'all. And we don't need to be throwing dirt on each other because we already got enough dirt on each other. We need to try to intercede with each other, have some compassion and empathy, and show some pity to one another. Stop throwing caustic and toxic word at one another, which serves no purpose at all, none whatsoever.
And it's people who walk around and they're not necessarily hygienic, but they think they're good. And other people find them repugnant, like you didn't put no deodorant under your arms, or when's the last time you took a shower? But in their own mind, they're good. How could you walk around that? Can't you smell yourself? And I know you know what I'm talking about. You've been around people who don't know that they need more hygiene.
Right.
Well,
a bath a day would be more. Some people think they're going to take a bath every weekend. I like that water every day, bro. You know what I mean?
Let me say something before you get to Psalms, please. I know what y'all saying too, but there's some people you would say, yeah, but anyway, that's where I'm going through right now. I can identify with Job or Job. When my mother died, it was a rude awakening. People who you thought, or even your acquaintances, let alone your friends. Mind you, in the past 4 years, quite a few people I've known have died, and not of COVID, of different types of illnesses, or through violence, cancer, whatever. And you're never too old to learn. I truly know for a fact, yes, I know for a fact, not my belief, not my hope, that things will get regulated once I get in my own place. Like I said, I don't need a lot. As long as I have my plan. But
exactly.
I don't need a lot of extravagance as long as it's clean and I don't have to walk up and down steps, flights of steps.
Right.
I'm okay. And everything is right there for me. And I'm looking forward for positive things to happen, not negative.
Right.
I'm looking for maybe volunteer some time, helping out, walking, exercise. I'm looking at a positive outlook, not negative, because I'm not happy here. I'm very,
right.
I'm not happy here at all. The energy here is very negative.
Right.
And it's sad because when you make an agreement with someone and they renege on your agreement,
right.
But yet I'm going to call you out your name. You said, and I said, I haven't called you out your name. I don't even know why you do that.
Right.
If there's an agreement being made, but I see people are like this.
Right.
If you help someone, you got to be clear on how long you want to help them.
Right.
I've done that where if someone need my assistance, I am clear of how often or how I can. Otherwise, I had a relative this day and I said, well, I'm giving you 7 months.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? There's nothing
right.
wrong with that.
Right.
But some people may need help for a couple of years or so,
right.
and that doesn't mean they're lazy. And it doesn't mean that what they need isn't necessarily monetary thing.
Right.
And they will get on their feet.
Right.
Because I've tolerated people that were had alcohol problems. We all have. But one thing I learned for a fact, there is a creator that I can rely on and talk to.
Amen.
And even though I say this time, and I cannot lie about this, sometimes I question, is this what you want? Is this who, even no matter how I study and read and meditate, I have to seem like we learn to be patient. Is this your will? And this is why I can identify so much with Job. No, I'm not like Job, but it's also talking about Israel and what we've gone through.
Exactly.
So we need fire. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I'm going to make a lighthearted comment about something. For us. Name calling is concerned. It's a true story. It's in regards to me. My dad, he had a tendency to name call. He didn't realize it was name calling. And I abhor name calling. I don't name call people. I don't call people out their names because I find it abhorrent. My dad used to call me boy. I mean, like boy on Tarzan. I mean, even until I was 16 years old, I don't think he started saying my name when I returned 17, when I rebelled. This I first saw. He called me boy so much, he didn't call me by my name, my given name.
Mm-hmm.
So the first day in first grade, teacher, there was two students ahead of me, and she called a little first grade. She said, Sally Dickerson, will you please stand up and tell us how many in your family, a little bit about you. A little white girl stood up. My name's Sally Dixon. I got a baby brother and a mom and dad. So the next guy, Bobby Johnson, will you please stand up and tell us a little bit about yourself, your daddy, mom, and whatnot. So Bobby Johnson get up. My name Bobby Johnson. I got two brothers and a sister and mama and daddy. He sits down. So, you know, I'm not really focused on what she was saying. I'm the third guy in the seat. But now, see how words have an effect upon you? I'm going to tell you about calling folks out their name. So the teacher, she said, my slave name, Ronald Killebrew, will you please stand up and tell us about yourself? So I ain't never hear no Ronald Killebrew, you know, so I'm just sitting back. I guess she skipped me. So as she kind of gets like she's kind of irritated. She said, Ronald Killebrew, will you please stand up and tell us about yourself? She finally got mad. She said, boy, will you say? I said, my name, boy. I got a brother named Jesse and a sister named LaRue. Come see how words can have an effect upon you. That's why I'm serious. I'm saying it in a humorous way, but I'm saying it. Words can have a, Cottrell said it, and I concur with him. Because I know how words can have a negative impact upon you. That's why I don't name call people, okay?
Right.
So they can take away from you than building you up.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a true story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right.
Well, yeah. That's why I ask the Most High to put a protection around me. You shouldn't have to be living in your home. It's not about hurt. It's not about, let's see. I feel I'm pretty tough. It's just when you start calling people out their name and you're provoked, angry, something's going on with you. Not with the person you're calling your name. There's something going on with you.
Right.
That reflects that.
So right.
I said, oh, that's interesting. You know. And I think I made that person feel small because I said, I haven't called you out your name because I don't see it's necessary.
No, it's not. I don't, you know, I don't tit for tat.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
If someone calls me out my name, let me tell you something, Sister Hootie and Cotri, I'm fellow students. A white man can call me nigga. He ain't said 100 times. And I'm going to ignore it. And then he may get shocked. Oh. He may run up to me, man, you know, I would call you nigga. And you act like you didn't need him. I said, I didn't hear you because I've never met a nigga and I was looking for opportunities to meet one. I said, but and I was looking for him to run up to you because you've been calling so long. Because I'm certainly, no, that's not my name. You call it nigga. And I'm waiting. I said, I didn't heard about them calling, that there's some folk called niggas. And I was waiting on the opportunity to meet that nigga. I don't respond to that. You know, I don't do tip.
You know, yeah. I'm like you too. When someone, I just look at them real weird. Like, did you go to school? Or I just walk away because it's, to me, I ain't gonna lie. I'm a little uppity when it comes to that. Just like, you below my pay grade for calling that. That's the ignorance. That is such a...
Exactly.
It's so ignorant. It just can't even be commented on. That's lowering my standards. Like, we're better than that. Yes, people are better than that. We should not get involved with all this argument and cussing and carrying on. It's foolish.
Exactly.
Not to say we don't cuss, but not every other word should be cussing and want to beat somebody up and all that. That's so primitive. I say, act your age, not your shoe size. Your shoe size is 9. You acted 9, and if you're in your 40s, 50s, or 60s, you need to grow up.
Yeah. That's certainly the truth, Sister Hootie. That's certainly the truth. And as you say, I have to concur with you. We're Yah people. We're supposed to evolve and develop it into what Yah would approve. Yah don't want his people talking about his people because Yah sees all of us as something special. And Yah loves us equally. And so how he going to let you talk about his folk like that? And he see them folk just special as you see you. He'll see you no better than them. So we got to be very careful of the words we throw out. And Job said it. Be careful of the words you throw out. It may come back to haunt you.
That's right. Because I'm like, oh, my God.
Yeah. I mean, Job was hitting home runs. Throughout that whole study section, Sister Yehuda and Cartrio and fellow students, Joe was hitting home runs throughout the whole discourse of the conversation. He had never hit no first base runs, the second base run, the third base run. Every word that came out of Joe's mouth was constructive, positive, and dead serious. And he was telling them, hey, man, y'all need to stop all that with your own. You own something, and you ain't right. Ain't no one y'all can't be right.
Let's see. When he said, how long would you grieve my life and crush me with words?
And words can do that. And words can, and that's why Cartrell said, and the bruh, Cartrell is certainly right. Be careful of the words you put out there, and certainly be careful of the words you speak to Yah, and be very careful of the words you put on one another.
Cause the number three.
Right.
Yeah, I'll say this real quick. Number three. These 10 times, now that's interesting.
Now, 10 times
you have insulted me, shamelessly you attack me. Even if I have truly gone astray, my strain remains with me.
Because y'all ain't giving me no good, putting them bad words on me.
Yeah.
Throwing them words out at me ain't did me a world of good. And that is it. We're going to move on to country, bring some another lovely song. Psalms 120 is this. unless you understand the dynamics going on in your life. I said a fish born in toxic water, that's what they do. They don't know no better. That's what we do. We swim around in toxic water with all these diseases on us. And see, that's your word, have get your mind, transition your mind out of the toxic water so you can get out of the toxicity and the causticness. That's the only way you're going to get out of that toxic water, because this world is an evil world. It's wicked and perverse. And that's why your word is drastically needed to understand you're a fish born in toxic water. And you have to realize this in order to change your dynamics.
Mm-hmm.
Cottrell, my dear brother and friend, we're waiting on you to give. I mean, you can sing because, you know, you have a pleasant voice. Yeah, I'm going to give you credit. I'm going to give you a pleasant voice and a beautiful song.
I know, he's waiting on us.
You know he waits.
In truth, I am a musician. I play the conga and I do sing. But I ain't trying to show off. The key to us uplifting ourselves is words. And as long as we tear each other down with words, that's where we'll be. We learn how to uplift one another, unlike Job's friends, with words, to be in a better place. And what did the Most High say? He said, bless those that do what? Bless you.
Mm-hmm.
And curse those that do what?
Curse
you. We're cursing each other every day. So we're bringing that vibration upon ourselves. How about if we blessed each other like we do on this talk show, radio show? Throw blessings around. Throw positivity around. Throw uplifting speech in regards to our people, because we are Yah's treasure. And that's how you have to look at us. And the people realize we are Yah's treasure. As much as they hate us, they have this love-hate relationship, because they sure imitate a lot of the things that we do, don't they? But anyway, that's another story for another day.
Yes, it is.
Because we should go into the attributes of our people that they love so much and hate so much at the same time. They love us and they hate us. But there is a song that I got for you, Sister Yehudi.
Uh-huh.
Something like this.
Okay.
My help coming from Yahuwah. My help coming from Yahuwah. My help coming from Yahuwah. Who made the heavens and the earth. I messed up. Who made the heavens and the earth. He made the heavens and the earth. And the seas, thank Yah. Praise his holy name. Let everything that has breath, let us praise his holy. Praise his holy name.
Cottrell, I must say this, yes, my dear brother and friend. I would come to a free concert of yours, but I certainly wouldn't pay for it. Praise Yah.
If it was free, you wouldn't have to pay, brother. It's a VIP.
All right.
Listen, and I might let you just sing along.
There you go. I love it.
There ain't no way to put you on mute.
No. Just turn the phone down low.
Or if you had a concert, I don't know. He can't. He can't do nothing with the phone. I know Yah Super jumped right up in there. It's alright. Have a good time.
It's alright.
Oh, it's alright. It's alright.
Okay, y'all singing.
Oh, it's alright. Oh, it's alright. Everybody said something.
No, I can't remember it either.
Okay, we're going to go to the ancient songs that we should know.
Mm-hmm.
They call these songs of ascent. It means to lift your spirit up, to rise you, to connect you with the Creator. Songs of ascent and prayers for deliverance. These are prayers that we should sing and say to that Yah pays attention to us. And we can put some music and some lyrics and some sweet harmony to it. The thanks and praise to the Holy One of Israel for our fathers and our mothers.
Praise
God. Who created these songs. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I cried unto Yah in my distress, and I could testify. Oh. I just want to testify what Yah has done for me.
Israel want to testify what Yah has did for him.
And he answered me.
Go ahead, sister. Hit that note. Hit that note, anime.
Trust him. Sure been delivering me. All right, I'm going to stop.
And he heard me. Hey, we need to sing a little bit. I think Cottrell to sing the first lyric. I sing the second lyric.
Let's get to the program, Mark.
Oh, man. Come on, man. Come on, man.
I know that was next time.
Oh, come on, man.
We might lose some people out there. We might lose some people out there.
Oh, we don't want them to leave the show. But we ain't going to do it.
Nah.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Y'all ready?
Yeah.
I cry to Yah my distress, which I do each and every time. Anytime I have distress, what I do? I cry to Yah every time in my distress. And guess what? He responds to me. He responds to me. Amazing. There is a God, the creator. Yes. He answered me when I called him in my distress. I'm not lying to y'all. Because I've been in my distress growing up in the Big Apple in the big city of New York. And Sister Abby, I know what I'm talking about.
Abby knows no bad. She's in the Bronx. And no, she knows.
We'll be down. Southside Bronx. Southside Bronx, y'all.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. I was running in South Bronx with a gang, stupid as hell.
Oh, you were?
Dirty Dozen. We
for real? What year?
Hanging out with Puerto Rican Road.
What year? Yeah.
I was about 17, 18. Mm. What year was it? You should know. You was the same age around that time.
Yeah. I mean, what year? Okay, it was 1973.
What year was it when you were 16, 17?
1973.
Yeah. About that time, bro.
Yeah.
Running with my military overcoat, green on.
Yeah.
That was our gang, you know, signature Dirty Dozen. Running around in the South Bronx.
Yeah.
They had the Black Spades, the Savage Skulls, the Savage Nomads, the Bachelors. I know y'all don't know about them.
Well, praise God.
Dumb thing.
Praise God to hear get your mind right, okay?
Oh, yeah. And when I was in my distress in this gang, because we were supposed to join with this other gang called the Bachelors one evening. So I'm taking my cardio to the Bronx to join with this other gang called the Bachelors. They had more members than us. We were just a handful of dudes, the Dirty Dozen, like about 12, 13. They had about 50, 60. We're supposed to be joining with these dudes.
Right.
When we got to the scene, the two leaders was like in a confrontation with each other in Spanish. I didn't know what the heck they were saying, but they going at it. And he had his boys on the roof with sawed-off shotguns. These dudes carrying guns in the street. I'm there with no weapon at all, just my trench coat. In that moment in time, I prayed to Yah, Yah, if you get me out of this situation, I am never coming back, ever.
Praise Yah.
What it look like Moray Yosef's son getting shot out here in a gang situation? How would that look to my family? So
yeah, but you know what? We all got a past, and I'm glad the Most High saved you from yours, as he saved me from mine, Sister Yehudi from yours, hers, and the fellow students from theirs. And so the Most High would take you out and protect you from even yourself. And certainly in my case, he protected me from myself many occasions.
So while I was saying the prayer, the Most High answered the prayer. While I was saying the prayer. Because there you go. Police coming from all angles. Whoop, whoop, whoop. Sirens everywhere. Everybody's running like roaches when you turn on a light at night. Oh, everybody's scattered. That was my opportunity. Get the hell up out of there. And what? I told y'all, I'm never going back. Ever again.
It's a wrap.
And guess what? I never went back. Ever again. So, y'all, he will answer your distress. He responded to me. Y'all delivered me. For lips that lie and tongues at the sea. That's what Job is facing. And we may face it too. You know, your friends see you down, they start lying on you, gossiping about you.
Right.
Yep.
Not trying to help you at all. It says, what will be given to you and what will be done to you, you treacherous tongue. Wow. Synchronize with the story of Job. Because your tongue can be treacherous. Your tongue can be hurtful. They used to tell us when we was young, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never harm me.
Words are hurtful.
Words
are very hurtful.
Words hurt you more than sticks and stones.
They can be debilitating.
Oh, yeah. Devastating. I know Yah's worked against us. It's hurting us right now. Trust
you better believe it.
Like a sharp arrow from a warrior. Yeah, Yah's words are like a sharp arrow from a warrior, along with fiery coals from juniper trees. How terrible for me that I am an alien in Meshech, that I reside among the tents of Kedar. I have resided too long with those who hate peace. Can we say that too?
You better believe it.
400 plus years in county with those who hate peace. We say no justice, no peace, because we live in the place that hates peace.
That I am peace.
Now you know what? They hate peace. You don't have a peaceful existence. They don't want peace for you. They
and
hate
when
peace.
I'm in favor of peace, but when I speak, they are in favor of war. That is our circumstance. That's our condition. That is our situation. How are we going to get out of it? How do we get out of it? I cried to Yah in my distress, and he responded to me. They trying to find Yah in some Hadron Collider in Switzerland, the God particle. I don't know how you do that. You're not going to find him in a Roman Catholic church. He ain't there. In your distress, cry out to him, and he may shock you with a response. If you don't know by now.
Hallelujah.
You don't want to be singing that song. If you don't know me by now, you'll never, never know me. You don't want Yah to be singing that song to you. If you don't know me by now.
You would never, never know me. All
if
right.
You don't know me by now.
You will never, never, never know me.
I think this is fun for our age. You know, we're not quite at the
moment. Yeah, but we do a little some.
We all got to get together, you know.
We do a little something. Hey, Katria, truth be told, bro. You know, I was messing with you. You know, I would pay for a concert. You were singing about Yah and whatnot. You know, I'll pay for
concerts. You
wouldn't
get in the door if you didn't.
Huh? I'm your friend, bro. I'm your friend, bro. I ain't like Chucky kind of friend. I ain't like them three Chucky kind of friends that Joe did.
We can get 10% discount on a ticket.
But, Leo, I'm not like them three Chucky kind of friends. I'm your friend to the end, Joe. Heidi ho. No, I ain't them kind of friends, okay?
Listen, man. We're putting you in the band, son. If you got to play a tambourine, we're going to be there.
I ain't playing no stanky tambourine. I'm going to be hitting some of them notes, bro. I'm going to be hitting some of them notes.
Okay.
Right. I'm going to be your backup, bro.
Drink some lemon.
Say that again, Sister Hootie.
Drink some lemon. Get your pipes together.
I'm gonna be his backup. Yeah. I'm gonna put some of that Greg report on him. You're moving in the wrong direction and you're moving. They're gonna say, Kachel, bad backup singer, man. Yeah. Deborah said, you're moving in the wrong direction. Yes, you're moving. Praise Yah. They're moving in the wrong direction.
He said, a joyful noise. That don't mean
we're going to be in soon. Joyful. Listen, my bro. With your voice, you got potential, man. You know what I'm saying? You got that bass joint going on.
Right.
It's not quite like Barry White, but. I mean, we could refine it, you know, hone it.
Yeah.
Like really close to my man, great reporter. Not quite there, but.
see how it's so good. He just had to give me my credit.
My no, but it takes practice.
It takes practice. Perfect.
Yeah. I imagine he's right.
Even singing takes practice.
Yeah, and he's right. Because, you know, I don't practice the art of it. So when you don't practice the art of it, just like our priest, they was their job. They practiced those things. So practice make perfect. And so they practice.
So how many hours you think these singers out here put in? They'll tell you. You hear the
hours,
record,
hours, brother. Hours enough.
Yeah,
you're
right.
Going over a technique, going over a lyric.
What?
Right.
What?
Mm-hmm.
It ain't easy.
Yeah, I think Cottrell.
They're out there practicing.
Yeah, I think Cottrell and Fellows, if I put in the work, I would sound acceptable, you know, to some quarters, to some other
people. People might think he's Gregory Porter, man. People might think he's Gregory.
Yeah, if I put in the work, I imagine they would, Cottrell. Because like you said, my voice is heavy along the lines of his voice and whatnot. So I imagine they would. I think some would find it rather quite pleasing.
Well, you're stretching it a little bit right now, but...
See what I'm saying, Sister Hootie? I said song. I said, you know, Sister Hootie, I said, I was humble. I said, song may find not all quite pleasing. Sister Hootie, he gonna take the five folks that would away from me.
No. Because you're in the practice, you put in the practice, you already projected. Right,
mm-hmm.
You got to practice first, and then we see the results of the practice. You already projected. I know if I practice, they're gonna be out there loving me.
Right,
you know, look. Yeah, they might love you more than you know.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Don't take the five people that find my singing quite pleasing away. That would discourage me from practicing.
Oh, you want more than five, though. You can't be satisfied with five. That's what we're talking about. Not satisfied with five.
Okay.
Probably your mother, your daughter, your auntie.
Yeah, you need to stop the country. Well, look here, fellas, I hope y'all have a good time with us praising y'all. You see how the camaraderie, love we have, and the consideration, common courtesy we have. And we don't take it, don't think Cottrell and I, we just have some bit antagonistic. That's not, we say things to motivate each other, to encourage one another, because we know each other. So don't take it the wrong way, Cottrell. You know, no, man, we friends to the end. And we ain't Chucky kind of friend, not like Job had. So, Sister Hootie, what is your closing remarks?
That in my distress, I'm crying out to the Most High, especially when I leave, get off the phone and talking and coming on this program, two beautiful brothers.
Thank you very much, Sister.
It helps psychologically, spiritually. And I know it's not the end of the world in terms of my life, but I'm glad that Most High is my psychiatrist and the people that are true to their word. We
right.
all fall down. But who is there to pick us up? The Creator. And sometimes he works through people for a time, for a season, maybe for a few years. Credit in is doing. That's the Creator and the people who are earnestly have trusted and helped me through the 4 years. I thank the Creator for allowing them to come in my life, because that's one thing in today's times, that people who aren't people, just be honest. Just tell the truth. You never know, by telling the truth, you may get some positive results. Even if the person doesn't like it. It's better to be honest than lie. Why lie? It doesn't benefit us.
Exactly.
So one good lesson, I say one lesson, I don't know if it's good or bad, is when you think about Job and the pain that he's going through and the anguish, you notice he does not sin in his words. None. So we can use that as an example for us.
Exactly.
The motivator, like you said, the motivator. Zayhu.
Thank you very much, Sister Huda, and thank you for the compliments. Praise Yah. Katria, our dear brother and friend, what say you?
You said a mouthful. And I love y'all both. And y'all can take the truth. Sometimes the truth hurts. Sometimes
right.
the truth mm-hmm. is hard. A lot of times it's funny. We have to be able to handle the truth and
right.
face the truth. A lot of people can't
right.
handle it. A lot of people can't face it. And it's important to be able to do that. Be truthful with yourself. Be truthful with others. That way you live carefree in your spirit. You don't worry about things that may come back and haunt you. So you lie,
right.
and, you know, you're deceitful. All that's going to come back and haunt you. But we can learn a lot from Job, how he is speaking to his friends. And we can learn a lot from his friends, how not to speak to our friends.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we shouldn't approach our friends when they're down and out in a way, in a manner that Job's friends are approaching him. How can we? We need to meditate on what can we do. If our friends were in Job's situation, what would we say? How can we uplift him? How can we bless him? How can we help him extract himself from that situation? So it gives us food for thought. We listen to the dialogue, and sometimes, you know, we like to hear the arrows being shot at people. But that's not always good. We need to learn how to put away arrows when people are down and out and learn how to heal people with our words. Because you can heal people with your words. Encourage them. Make them smile. Make them laugh. Give them hope. Keep hope alive, like Joseph Jackson said. Keep hope alive.
You know one thing? Let me kick in right quick. Music is so important. It does bring people together. I've seen musicians from all different cultures, nations, how it's just miraculous. I'm like to do one day a study on music and how it does bring people together. It does something to the soul, you know?
I love music.
He gonna call for the background singer. When he say he hit that note, I come on any kind of music. I love music.
Music is a healing force of the world.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
And I hope Ezekiel gets better. I know he's been under the weather.
I've been praying for him.
Yes.
Let him know when you speak to him. I've been praying for him.
Yes, me too. My mind has been meditating on him that he gets well. And y'all care of it as leaps
okay.
and bounds and learning. So I give a shout out to y'all care.
Praise
my name is
both our young brothers and sister, Ezekiel and Yakira. Y'all be with them.
Send bless them.
God named Raphael to heal him. The healing balm of Gilead.
And bless all our students and those that are not conscious of the Most High. Bless them also. Well, thank you, Sister Yehudi. Thank you, Cartrell. Thank you, fellow students. You know, it's time. We don't know very much. And, you know, Cartrell has corrected me. Was it pleasant to be corrected? No, it's never pleasant to be corrected. But that being said, would you rather be corrected or keep doing the same thing over and over again? And expecting different results. That's insanity. So that's where humility comes in. Not arrogant. God damn, like he knows something. He can't tell him. No, Cartrell does know something. And he can tell you stuff. Just like I suspect Cartrell feels toward me. I'm sure I've corrected Cartrell unbeknownst to me. But did
yes,
he take
sir.
Offense toward it? Did he have an attitude? Soup can't tell me nothing. I've been this the way, this light the way. No, that brother humble like me. We sharpen each other. We keeping each other sharp. Ain't no big eye, little you. And of course, that's the dynamic of the relationships. Not saying words to demean, belittle, or insulting, caustic, or poison to tear people down, but saying words, utilizing words to encourage, motivate, move forward, and so on and so forth. Cartrell and Sister Hootie are dead right. Learn to use words. Learn to be wordsmiths that you use the right words, because words can come back to haunt you if you use the wrong words. Learn to
live right.
Right.
We live right. We're not dead right. We live right.
We're live. Mm. I concur. See, you say I'm corrected? That, hey, goddamn, you can't tell me nothing. Oh, I don't do that, player. The man said something right. We're live right, and I concur. I want folks to tell me when I'm wrong all day. I want a little cheer at, Yum Sue, you wrong. You walked off the thing over there. Hey, little boy, you can't tell me nothing. Look here, a little dog can run up to me and bite me on the ankle and say, hey, don't go down that street. Be humble enough that anybody can tell you when you wrong. Ain't no fool like an old fool. And you learn to be wordsmith, as Cartier alluded. Now, we're not dead wrong, we're live wrong. And you learn to use wordsmith words to motivate, encourage, lift up, show pity, empathy, compassion, and love for. Instead of saying, yeah, I know you scheming dirty dog. You've been that way all the way, Joe. Stop using them toxic. And Joe pointed that out. Stop. Y'all ain't helping nobody. Learn to be with y'all.
Live right.
What's that, Cartier?
Live right. Live right. Live right.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm.
By the word of Yah.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So learn to use positive. Go ahead.
Right. Right quick. And it's also when you know, you trust that that person is not going to say anything if there's correction to harm you.
No.
You know, mm-hmm. break your spirit. It's out
right.
of love. You know it. It's out of love.
Right.
Because I know I have been corrected. Only one time I think I got a little vexed with Cartrell, but other than that, I was like, oh, well. And I
well, no, see, well, Cartrell has the right attitude, so shoot it. He's not pontificating. He's not dogmatic. He's not self-righteous when he says something. He's just a matter of fact. He's straightforward. And see, sometimes when you say things to people, as a matter of fact, and straight and frankly, a lot of as Cartrell and you sometimes allude to the fact, Sushiuti, some people can't handle the truth, no matter how you put it. But it has to be put in a way that's sort of neutral. But even being neutral, if it's a correction and they don't like correction, they ain't gonna like it any way you put it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely ain't like it when my mother was correcting me, but can't nobody top her.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Sergeant
well, yeah, Love. You know, yeah, yeah. Because I've done sometimes, and I still dope, but I say, you know, when I talk, first of all, and maybe I'm wrong for this, I try not to hurt people's feelings, but sometimes I come on really direct, and I don't mean it like you can't tell me. Because things that an elder has said something to me, and I go, oh, okay, let me think about that. Really? You know, I respond like, I didn't know you felt this way.
Right.
Or let's talk about it, and I will listen.
Right.
You know, not all the time. Sometimes it vexes me. I'm like, I don't know. But I work on those things. But when you're around an environment that's not conducive, it's something else. So, I mean,
right.
Lots of prayer. Mm-hmm. But other than that, country, Ali, it was fun telling me about for something a natural, and I got to think it to myself. Do you know my income? But I let it go. He didn't mean no harm, but I said no.
But thank you, my dear
sister. I apologize if I offended you.
Oh, excuse.
And if I've ever offended you, Sister Hootie, inadvertently. I apologize. Sometimes Yum Soup come off sort of coarse sometimes, but good intentions. And sometimes people misread or misconstrue what people are saying. So if I've ever said anything to offend you, I do apologize.
Well, you have a strong personality because of your
it
deep voice.
It is
your
what it is. And sometimes that can be quite intimidating to people, right?
Oh, yeah. You aware of it.
Oh, yeah, I'm aware of it. It can be quite intimidating. I mean, especially my daughters. I don't know how to say Joy, Maya. That was enough. Oh, Lord. Yeah, my voice, yeah, can be quite intimidating sometimes.
But, you know, I forget that you have lost a child.
Right, and my 5-year-old.
Yes, and... You're blessed with 2 daughters, even though I've sat and I've listened to males, my brothers, how every man that I've talked to or listened always want that son to carry on that seed.
Yeah.
And I'm compassionate with that.
Right.
I don't know how I feel. I've been around people who have lost children. Doesn't matter.
Right.
If the child is stillborn, 5 years old, 20 years old, 30 years old, my heart go out. And for you to come on Monday through Friday and do the things you do, I had to go out to you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And yes, I don't speak of my son Cornelius that often. Because,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's still a, you know, it's still something that you'll never get over when you lost a child. So
right.
people can't understand the dynamic because you're supposed to go before your children, but sometimes that's not the way most I call the shots. So, you know, I don't speak too much about him other than the fact I do occasionally speak about him sometimes. But sometimes, you know, you hide stuff, you compartmentalize it so you don't have to be touched by the raw emotion of it. You know what I mean? And then sometimes you have to open a shift to air it out and shut the shift back up so you don't become stagnated, hampered by it. So
my condolences, I, for the loss of your son.
Okay.
Thank you very much, my brother. Yeah, that was my heritage. The loss of my
life. And I remember you talked. Go ahead. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I know that daughter's still your heart. We made one son.
Without a doubt.
A daughter still your heart.
Without a doubt. You know, especially that joy. Sometimes she makes me want to strangle her, but that's my baby. She's the baby. And the oldest girl, sometimes Maya, she goes on the dark side of the moon, so I have to deal with her sometimes occasionally.
That's funny.
Yeah, it is. She goes on the dark side of the moon, yeah.
Are the aliens on the dark side?
I don't know what's on. I have intention on asking Maya, what do you see on the dark side of the moon when you go around?
I heard rumor that there's alien bases on the dark side of the moon.
I'm going to ask Maya, is there any bases on the dark side of the moon? Because Joy has a tendency as of recent to want to make that skip around the moon too. But we sort of made a defenses because I was disappointed with her. And so when I'm disappointed with you, I don't sit in the argument, fuss, and fight, which I don't say anything. And so my child knew Daddy disappointed with her. And she wanted to reestablish the relationship with her father. And I was pleased at the relationship because that's my baby. So I was pleased with the relationship. But she understands I have demands on her. Like I told her, I said, Joy, Daddy's on death row. And what does that mean? I have less years on the back end and on the front end. So I said, you have to realize my father died at 70. My mother is 90. And I said, it could be somewhere in between or beyond my mother. I don't know. But it's less years than the years I had before, than the 65 years I had before. So she said, and I had to break into her mind so she think, I'm telling you, utilize the information I'm providing for you. Because one day I'm not going to be here to provide the information and to be your back, have your back. So perhaps, and I told the oldest Maya that, but as I said, her name actually is Demaya. Demaya. Mm-hmm. I named Joy. Her mother named her. And that was ironic for her mother to name. I didn't even know y'all at that time. But now Demaya name is Demaya. So that's beautiful, right?
Yeah.
All right. Sister Hootie, you got any closing remarks? We got to get on out of here.
Yeah, right quick, that it's in our DNA. When you said you didn't know the creator then, the name, you know, that I found out that even when we don't know, we know. You know what I mean? It's the DNA. When you read or hear somebody's name, like Aaliyah,
right.
Centelia, you know, it's so much.
Yeah.
So, like, where these names come from? You do the research,
right.
You know, we put all kind of stuff in it. But,
right.
No, I just hope that everyone is safe today and carry on. And hopefully, Moti willing, we'll be with you tomorrow.
Praise y'all. Gautrey, our dear brother and friend, what about you?
I give thanks and praise to the Holy One of Yisrael for the lesson tonight. because it brought out so many keys in regard to how we speak, and even the power in name. We bless Yah's name, and your sister, you already mentioned it. Our name is attached to Yah's name. So mm-hmm. when we curse each other, we cursing actually Yah's name if someone mm-hmm. has Yah's name upon them. So we really got to be guarded with our words and how we speak to one another. And mm-hmm. you have to accentuate the positive always. For me, that brings peace of mind. And
exactly.
We just have to learn these lessons to do better.
Praise Yah. Praise Yah, Katria. Well, fellow students, Sister Yehudi and Katria, we offer parting gifts. Now, we can't give them to you. We send you to the space place to get them, which would be a new spirit. We all need this new spirit to help facilitate our growth and development. Not the one you got. You need a new one. You need one humble, contrite, willing to listen to reason, willing to be steadfast in the Most High, and willing to sharpen each other. And we need a new heart, which is not too far unlike your King David. That's why the Most High said it, and that's why he put it in there. King David is a man after my own heart. Not that he was perfect, but the fact of the matter, he knew, even in his imperfection, to love the Most High with all his heart, mind, soul, and strength. Why? Because that would keep him on the straight and narrow. That would keep him, that the Most High footstep is his pathway. Even when he fell down, he got right back up and got on the pathway. And also, loving your brothers and sisters and treating them right, talking to them right, encouraging them right, empathetic with them right, compassionate with them right, moving them in the right direction right, because you can't do that unless you learn to love yourself. If you hate what remotely looks like you, that's because you don't love yourself. That's imperative. Learn to love who the Most High say you are instead of what your oppressors and enemies say they want you to be. Stop being the animals and monsters that they say you are just because they said so. Be the people that the Most High created you to be. Leaders among nations, drawing all men and women unto him, not by your lip service, but also by your actions. May the Most High bless you. Shalom and good night. Katriel, Sister Yehudi, you got any closing remarks? Bala, shalom, good night.
Most High bless us. Shalom, shalom. Malato.
Sister Yehudi?
Peace.
Okay. Good night. Shalom. We love y'all. Good night.
Yes.
I feel just like a kite, but one without a string, one that is floating around. I don't know what tomorrow will bring. I feel just like a bird, but one without a home, one that is floating over endless oceans, empty horizons, no rest in sight. What does it mean when you say you wanna be free? Free to sing, free to dance, free to let someone take a glance in a world that's free of me. Then you say, then you say, you're moving on. Then you say, I've got other plans. Oh, girl, oh, you're moving in the wrong direction. Moving in the wrong direction, yeah. You're moving in the wrong direction. So far away from me. You're moving in the wrong direction, moving in the wrong direction, yeah. You're moving in the wrong direction, so far away from me. Thank you. the wrong direction, so far away from me. I wish my mama was here, a strong, strong, steady rose. She would know what to do, what to say, how to pray to make things better. What does it mean when you say you wanna be free? Free to sing, free to dance, free to let someone take the glance in a world that's free of me. You're moving in the wrong direction, moving in the wrong direction. Well, you're moving away, so far away, so far away from me, oh. Well, you're moving, oh.